So we've been talking about, you should be at John's Gospel chapter 3. And we speak a blessing over your life today. John's Gospel chapter 3. For God so loved the world. Will you say this with me as we have it on screen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've been talking again about what I would call the digits to the combination to the hearts and lives of those we love. We started with the context of all from this verse, for God so loved, for God. If you notice at the end of that verse, it says we'll have everlasting life. For us to end in life, we have to begin with God. For us to end in life in any area, take this principle in any area, your health, your finances, your relationship, whatever. But for us to end with life, God's life, the Zoe kind of life, the quality of life that God has for you, John 10:10, we have to start with God. We don't start with us and tag God to it. We don't start with what do I want, now Jesus make it happen. We start with God. Say, I start with God. We encourage you, no matter what you're praying for, start with the scripture. What's the verse? Pastor, I need this. Please pray for me. I'm believing for God to bless me, or I'm believing for God to heal me, or I'm believing to get married. What's your verse? That's tough. But a majority of people, quite honestly, in the church world, are not walking by faith. They're walking by... They have a better chance of winning the lottery sometimes and get the prayers answered. And they think it's God. It's not God. God hasn't ignored you. God hasn't overlooked you. God is not mad at you. The thing is, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek how the king does stuff, and then all this stuff will be added to you. And the king says, find out. Get to know me. Know what I'm thinking about the situation. And that's why we encourage you. Start with the word of God. Get a verse. Get more than one verse. Let every thought be established by two or three witnesses, the Bible says. So get two or three verses. I believe I'm healed because. And start reading and having that. And build your faith in that. Start with God. Say, start with God. Don't start with pain. Don't start with problem. Don't start with crisis. Start with God. And I'm telling you, you get to a place when you start with God. Are you listening to me? When you start with the Word of God, in the process of starting with the Word of God, your mind's going to be renewed, Romans 12:2. Your heart's going to become strong and courageous, Joshua 1:6-10. Faith is going to be built, Romans 10:17. Something's going to begin to change on the inside of you. And you'll become like David, who saw an impossible situation in the eyes of everybody else. But to David, it was a great opportunity. What is the reward, he said, to the person who takes this giant down? David had a perspective change. David had an attitude difference. David had he looked at the problem differently. And where everybody hid, David said, I got this one. Why? Because David had started with God. David was a man after God's own heart. David was seeking in the presence of God and worshiping God. When all he had was nothing but a few sheep, he didn't allow his surroundings to dictate the importance of his identity. And he said, God, I might not look like I have a lot. Even my brothers kind of diss me about it. Even my father ignores me. But what people say about you and I is not the deciding factor in the quality of the life that God has for you. What things you have around you is not a dictating factor on the value of your destiny. David knew there was something greater. He said, God, I'm going to begin to focus not on how do I get just more sheep and praise God for more sheep, or how do I get people to think important things about me, or how do I get more followers on Facebook, or how do I get more responses to my Instagram. No, he began to say, I'm going to begin and seek the face of God. He was a man after the heart of God. It's okay to say amen around here, just in case you wondered. There's no Methodist sign on outside. You can't say amen. Start with God. Say, start with God. Many times we get stuck because we don't start. Many times we get stuck because we don't start correctly. Start with God. For God so loved. We looked at the next digit. We need the God factor in it, but we also see that God loves, and that the interesting key element into reaching people is to have love flowing through us. Because Jesus said it this way. He said, listen, if you just love those who love you, what difference are you than the world? Love those who hate you. That's a whole nother level of living as a Christian, is it not? Come on, somebody. Because I'll tell you what, when someone is hating on me, I have a list that's going through my memory in that moment. It only takes me a millisecond to come up with it, and the top five, nothing says love. Can we get real? He didn't say love them because you feel like loving them. Love them because they deserve to be loved. Love them because that's the first thing that comes to your mind. But he also said even the world loves people who love them, and the Bible tells us to tell the truth in love. People know the attitude of your heart when you approach them. And when we approach people this week, when we throw the net out this week, we are going with the attitude that God's got us. More than the greeting, it's the God behind the greeting. Remember Mary and Elizabeth. More than just trying to say the right thing, you're just going to relax, you're going to be yourself, you're going to throw the net out, and you're going to do it with love. But I don't love them, Pastor. I didn't say emotionally have a warm and fuzzy. You need to pray, God, give me some love from you. Amen. So as we throw the net this week together, we're doing it because the first digit, we know God's behind this. Second, we're doing it with the attitude of God loves, we love. And if we're struggling with that, ask God, give me some love here. Help me to say the right thing. God so loved the world that he gave. Because you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. I remember years ago, I've told this story before, but I'm going to share it again because it's funny and it's always on something on my family and that like doing that. And so many years ago when I was in college, I went to the Lake of the Ozarks with my brother and some of our friends, and we were doing a rotation. Have you ever done a rotation with meals where you would take turns on who's going to pay? So you might pay for breakfast, lunch, somebody else pay, and everybody rotates. So one person's always buying the meal, but it's a rotation. And so we were doing that process, and when it was my turn to pay, my brother ordered the most expensive thing on the menu. How many people know how older brothers can treat you sometimes? We love them, but he ordered the most expensive thing on the menu, and I thought, oh, he got me. He just laughed at his, as he ate that steak. You know, I was eating steak when somebody else was ordering it, but it was my turn. Salad, please. Can I get it cheaper if you hold the dressing? You know what I'm talking about. And so I thought, okay, because the next time was his time. Have you ever had that? Say, okay, smile, laugh all you want. So the next meal was his time, and boy, was I looking at the one side of the menu. You know, they start in one area where it's the cheaper stuff, and then you get, I don't even look at what it is. I'm looking for dollars at that point. Have you ever done that? Someone said, I'm going to buy your dinner. You don't even look what it is. You're just looking real quickly. You're zooming for big numbers. Ooh, and I bought some food, and I ordered more food than I can eat. I was going to get him back. And as we're walking out of the restaurant, I was laughing, I was smiling. I said, Dave, thanks for dinner. And he said, no, thank you. And he pulled out my credit card and handed it back to me. He did. Now, he's made up for it since then. But it's a funny story. You know one thing I learned from that? There's no such thing as generosity if there's no skin in the game. It's easy to be generous with somebody else's money. Right. I heard a preacher say, we're going to get ready to take up an offering. I want you to be generous like you're giving your neighbor's money away. It's easy to be generous when it's not your money. It's easy to pray and believe until there's skin in the game. Yep. Mm. One of the key elements, I don't know all the digits to the combination to your family, friend, neighbor, coworker, whoever it is that we're praying for with you. And there's a lot of people. Only God knows. But one thing I know for sure is you're one of the digits. Because God works off relationship. God has this amazing idea. And sometimes I wonder and say, God, why do you do it this way? I think I can have a better way. But the Bible says God's ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And sometimes I want to debate that with God. And I always come out on the losing stick. Losing end of that. And say, God, well, wait a minute. But you notice God works through people. He works through people. He don't send angels to witness. He doesn't even send angels to bless you. I remember there's a phase many years ago in the church about how God's going to bless you, and there'd be envelopes of cash in your mailbox, and you'd go and say, "Ooh, God sent an angel with cash in an envelope in my mailbox." No stamp, no anything. And you know what? It wasn't an angel. And for many of us, we ran to a mailbox and found there was nothing but bills. But the Bible doesn't say God uses angels to bless you. Even in your generosity, God said, "Given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men." God uses people. He'll use people to bless you. He'll use people to help you. He'll use people to reach out to you. And you know, when it comes to salvation, you know what he uses? And in the church world, there's been a tendency where we get all the way to that point and people say, "He uses people to bless me. He uses people to help me." And when it comes to getting people saved, he uses the pastor. Because it's an easier tendency of not having skin in the game and put the responsibility on the shoulders of other people. But the Bible tells us that one of my roles as a pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I don't know if you're watching March Madness, any basketball. We're in the Final Four weekend. It was a wonderful day yesterday. My team won. It wasn't my first team. I have to keep changing teams on who's winning. So I can always say my team won. But can you imagine? At the tip-off, all of a sudden, all the players run to the bench, and the coach runs to the court. And they try to play the game. Wouldn't work, would it? Because everybody would say, that's not how it goes. The devil's convinced a lot of people in the church world that's how it's supposed to go, how it's supposed to be played out. We'll just let the senior pastor. He can handle all of this. But I'm telling you, when it comes to reaching people, God works through people. He works through relationship. I could call your neighbor 12 times a day and eventually be stopped by an app. Some of you got those apps on your phone. If you don't, you need to. I get the craziest sales call. I get sales calls from not only from businesses. I'll get automatic, right? I get them from China, and the person's talking Chinese. Now, I don't know how their marketing plan went, but something about that tells me I'm not going to buy. The point being is nobody likes a cold sales call. Oh, we'll let pastor go visit them. You know what I'd be? A cold sales call. Why? Because I don't have a relationship with them. You do. You do. So God works through people. And we can look and say, no, I'll just wait and see how the game. I'll just wait till it's all over and then I'll give my opinion of what I really thought about this. No, get in the game. Get on the court. Take a risk. You might accidentally make the best shot of the game. You might dribble the ball off your heel and no one catch it. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You need to watch more TV. I'm joking. God is good. Romans chapter 10. And for us to get on the court, there's a risk. For us to get in the game, there's a chance. For us to get on the game, we are taking a chance, and the devil will whisper, "Don't do it. If you shoot that shot, what if you miss?" I love the look in the eyes of the... Now, if you don't watch sports, start watching sports this weekend. You only got tomorrow left for it to become the basketball, right? But I love in those moments... I love in those moments where it's like 1.6 seconds left, down by one, or down by three, and they got to make a three-pointer, right? And you see these times in those moments of a game who really wants to play and some who are not too sure they want to play. They're like, "Don't throw me the ball." They pass it off. They don't even look to the hoop. They don't, I mean, it's like, just get rid of it. And the pressure's on, the people are watching, the chances are great. The loss is there, but they want the ball. Something on the inside says, I want to make that point. I want to win this game. My prayer for you today, before we end the service today, is that when you walk out of here, that something from the Holy Spirit on the inside of you says, I want to be that person that God uses. Instead of saying, God, use somebody else to score. Use somebody else to witness. Use somebody else to reach out to that person. God, I'll trust. I'll just pray. I'll even fast a little bit. How about 30 minutes? And then, God, you do it. Send somebody else. God's looking for men and women who will be bold and courageous, Joshua 1, who will just say, listen, I'm going to rise up and be strong. I'm going to rise up and be bold. And I want to be the one that God uses. Because we're playing for more than a title. We're playing for more than the accolades. We're playing for more than TV recognition. We're playing for the eternity of the souls of people that we know. God, use me. God, use me. But Pastor, I don't know exactly what to say. Just be you. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to overanalyze it. Just relax. Be you. Because just like Mary to Elizabeth, it wasn't in the greeting. We don't know what she said, but something in the greeting. It was the God behind the greeting that caused what God was doing in her to stir up. My baby leaped. God, use me. In my frailties, in my imperfections, in my mistakes, in my lack of knowledge, in my inabilities, God, use me. Yeah. Amen. Catherine Kuhlman, which will go down in history, is one of the greatest healing revivalists in the church world. And it was quoted as saying on more than one occasion that she remembers the day she came to the reality that she had nothing to offer God. No talent, no. She wasn't good looking, she wasn't a good speaker, she wasn't a good orator, she had no skills, no ability, and she came to that point one day in her own time with God and said, God, I have nothing to offer but me, and if you could use me, I belong to you. We have a tendency to do an inventory, an asset management, a list of itemized efforts of what we can bring to the table, but God's not looking for you to impress him. God's looking for us to be available to him. And if you have nothing to offer, you still have you. And you can say, God, I have nothing to offer, but I sure would like to be used by you. And if you can use me, I'm here. Yeah. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. New Living Translation. Notice this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? I like how he breaks this down. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? God works through people. He didn't give a formula of these are the three words or these are the three phrases or these are the talking points that you need to say. Because everybody's different. We don't know what they need to hear. God does. We don't know what needs to be said. And the Bible even tells us when you have these moments, don't try to pre-think because that's what I tend to do. God, give me the list. Give me what I need to say before I get there. God, show me how this is going to play out before I get there. And we walk up to the edge like Peter would have to the boat. And I guarantee he said, Lord, call me out if that's you. And he probably didn't realize because Peter is one of these people that he was quick to act and later to think. I know nobody here is like that. And I just guarantee you that Peter stood up and saw Jesus and noticed everybody's freaking out and thought, this is my time to really look spiritual and look good. And he said, Lord, if that's you, call me out. And he hears, come. Really? I don't need to be showboat. I don't need to be center attention. You're walking on water. That's good enough. Jesus said, come. And he walked out on the water. He took a step. Many times, and he began to walk. Now, we hit, and many preachers have preached messages on why Peter should have kept his eyes on Jesus, shouldn't have gone under. But give the guy some credit because the man's out there on the water. He took one step farther than any of us ever taken. And he might have gone under, but when he came back into the boat, I guarantee the disciples didn't look at him and say, ah, I bet I told you that wouldn't work. No, because he did it. If they were close, you know they would say, how was that first step? I guarantee you, at the beginning, he probably thought, oh, this is going to, I hope I don't die. Here I come, Jesus. Here or there, it's not going to. But once he stepped over, he probably got in the boat and said, oh, no big deal, guys. Yeah, I slipped up a little bit. You know, but there was a tree someone left. They didn't cut that down. That's why I tripped over you. That's what it was. Tree floating in the water. Someone should fix that. That storm, man, it pulled everything up. It was a mess. It was a fish. A fish knocked me over. That's what it was. This was. We're always confident after the fact, but before the fact, there's always the tendency to be not too sure. And where bravery comes is not being confident before the battle. Bravery comes that is being confident even in the midst of your own fears and nervousness. To act not because you feel like you're bold, to act because you know you are bold, to move forward not because you feel a goosebump, but because you're obeying what God told you to do. Take it a step. Look to your neighbor and say, take a step. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? God uses people. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? We've been praying. We've been fasting. We have focused. I mean, the very fact you took time and put their name on a card. But I want you to know, God's not going to send Gabriel. He's going to send you. He works through people when it comes to salvation. How can they call unless they believe? How can they believe unless they've heard? How can they hear unless someone tells them? How can someone tell them unless they've been sent? So we're going to do things a little different today because, again, following this service, we've encouraged you, don't invite unsaved people for the last few weeks. And I've taken a little slack with people. I've had some people give me the roll of their eyes, and some people tell me, I don't know why you're doing that, and yada, yada, yada. And sometimes you got to look at people, and when you know you're doing the right thing, and just say, smile, I love you, and yada, yada, yada. Just mind your own business. Because they'll be the first ones, they'll be the one that criticize you, be the first ones that'll praise you at the end. Boy, that was a great idea. But they were the first ones back saying, I don't know what he was thinking. That's just not going to work. But I'm telling you, God is doing something. Did you hear me? God is doing something. You can't always formulate it. You always can't figure it out. But I'm telling you, God is doing something. And he wants to do something through us. And we're going to just do it in this service, this message a little differently. Because I'm not going to give a salvation call. I'm going to give a who's open call. Because I want to pray over you. Jesus said, as the Father sent I, so I'm sending you. The disciples were sent. Many of us haven't gone because we haven't been sent. We're going to send you today in the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? And you might look the same going out of here. You might feel emotionally the same. But I'm telling you, you will not be the same.